Welcome to Willard Church of the Nazarene. We're glad you're here. We can't wait to share the service with you.
Our King is forever. He will forever reign, forever and ever. We can take comfort in knowing that no matter what life throws at us, He is always there. He's always in control, and He will fight your battles.
You gave your life for mine. Nailed to the cross, you crucified all my sin and shame. It was washed by your mercy. You the treasure I find. My reason for living, so let my life become an offering to the one who is worthy. All praise to the Lord Most High. All praise to the one who saved my life. All praise to Jesus Christ, my King of heaven, my King forever. You stormed the gates of my heart, the veil in between was torn apart. Now you hold the keys to the grave, 'cause you bring things to life, you roll stones away. All praise to the Lord Most High. All praise to the one who saved my life. All praise to Jesus Christ, High King of heaven, my King forever. All praise to the Lord Most High. I lift my hands up, lay my whole life down, my whole life down before you. I lift my hands up, lay my whole life down, my whole life now is for you. I lift my hands up, lay my whole life down, my whole
never been anyone like you, God. There's never been anyone like you, God. No one above you, no one beside you. There's never been anyone like you, God. There's never been anyone like you, God. There's never been anyone like you, God. You are the highest, you are the greatest. There's never been anyone like you, God. Yeshua, Jehovah, hallelujah, glory in the highest. Yahweh, your name is holy. God with us, King Jesus, Lord Almighty. Yahweh, your name is holy, holy, holy. all tongues and all nations, let all generations sing praise to the name of the Lord our God. Yeshua, Jehovah, hallelujah, glory in the highest. Yahweh, your name is holy, holy, holy. God for us, God with us, King Jesus, Lord Almighty. Yahweh, your name is holy, holy, holy. Your name is holy. Sing praise to the great I am. We join all heaven singing. Worthy is the Lamb forever and ever. Amen. Sing praise to the great I am. We join all heaven singing. Worthy is the Lamb forever and ever. Amen. Sing praise to the great I am. We join all heaven singing. Worthy is the Lamb forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah, glory in the highest. Yahweh, your name is holy, holy, holy. God for us, God with us, King Jesus, Lord Almighty. Yahweh, your name is holy, holy, holy. Yeshua, Jehovah, hallelujah, glory in the highest. Yahweh, God with us, King Jesus, Lord Almighty. Yahweh, your name is holy, holy, holy.
Kind of looking at, what do we believe? Can we believe? And the title of the sermon this morning is, I Can't Believe It, which kind of can be deceiving on what that says, right? But we're going to talk a little bit about Thomas this morning. And not much is preached about Thomas very often, but we'll dive into that a little bit today. But one of the questions I want you guys to think about as we go through this is, why do we doubt God? And why do we have to have proof to believe he is there for us and with us? So think about that today. So a little bit of background on our text, which we will be in John 20, 24 through 29. So if you want to look that up while I kind of give you some background on the text this morning. So this passage comes after Jesus has appeared to the 12, to his 12 disciples, after he had risen from the dead. And Thomas so happened to not be there. So this is kind of where our story begins. So if you would stand as we read God's word this morning. So John 20, 24 through 29. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. You guys may be seated this morning. So, there's not much said about Thomas in the Bible, really. He was one of the 12, right? And there's not very many stories about him either. So we see this story where he's doubting whether Jesus is actually alive again, right? But it also shows in John 11:16 that he was loyal to Jesus and wanted the other disciples to come along and encourage them to come along. So really there's not much about Thomas, other than Thomas was from Galilee. That's all I could find on him. I actually even did some of my own searching to see if there was any more that I could really dig on Thomas, but there's not too much other than most people know him as Doubting Thomas. But here's the real question. Why do we doubt? So here's a thought that I have with Thomas and why he may have doubted. And this is just me thinking about Scripture and what maybe he was thinking. This is not what really is said in the Bible, but this is just a thought that I had. I think maybe he didn't believe because he still was grieving the loss of Jesus and didn't want to be disappointed if it wasn't true that Jesus had risen from the dead. And how often do we kind of do that as well, where maybe we're in disbelief and we don't want to believe it, so we choose to not believe it. And I think maybe some of that might have been what Thomas was doing. But again, we truly don't know why he's doubting, other than maybe this was just one of his character flaws that he had, whereas he doubted things. He had to see it to believe it. Which is kind of funny for him to not believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. He was there when Lazarus was risen from the dead. So he knows that God is capable of doing those things. So sometimes I'm wondering, Thomas, why did you doubt so much, right? You've already seen the power of what God can do, but he still doubted. And how often do we do that as well? That we see obvious proof that God is doing things, but we doubt it because we just can't believe that it actually is something that he would do, right? So there's some other reasons why we may doubt God. I think sometimes we doubt him because we're just not patient enough to wait for his plans to unfold. We doubt his ability to perform those things for us. And we doubt his ability to follow through sometimes. I think sometimes we think that just because he doesn't answer our prayers right then and there, that he's not following through. And I think sometimes we think our plans are best, but God has something planned even better that we need to be waiting on and be patient enough to wait on. You know, I get impatient sometimes. I'm waiting on God's timing. You know, me and Amanda had tried for years to have kids. And I'm like, God, we are doing everything we can to follow you, but yet you haven't blessed us with children yet. And I looked at it as, why is God not blessing us with children, something that we desire to have? But again, that was my plan. That was our plan, trying to plan out like what we wanted. But we didn't know what God had for us. And now look, we have 4 amazing children. You know, God had blessed us with that. So again, we doubted what God's plan was, but he knew exactly what he was doing. You know, these people that do foster care and take care of children that aren't theirs, we need more people in the world to do stuff like that. We think about how challenging that may be at times. But sometimes these children just need someone to love them and show them God's love. Sometimes the situations that they're in is not what was planned for them. And it's not their fault that they're in situations like that at times. You know, it says in the Bible that we are to take care of the widows and the orphans. And I believe that wholeheartedly as a church that we have to do that. To love on those people that don't have people that love on them. Granted, this has nothing to do with my sermon. I kind of went off on that. I just felt that God was leading me that way a little bit. But again, we doubted what God had planned for us because we were wanting stuff for ourselves and not looking what God's plan was. I think sometimes we also doubt because as humans, we want to be in control of everything. Because I don't know about you, when things feel out of control, you get anxious, you get worried, and you can't focus on what God is doing for you. And I think that's a flaw all of us have at times, that we don't want to allow God to just take control of everything. I think sometimes maybe we're scared to see what God might do in our lives that we may need to change in our lives. I think sometimes that's what scares us away, is that, well, I don't really want to go away from these things that pull me away from God. I like them too much, right? And we're sometimes afraid what God's going to pull out. Hey, I need you to change this. I'm guilty of that myself, that sometimes my life outside of church is different than my life inside of church. My life at work is totally different than how I am when I'm here. And that's a mistake that I think we all make, is that we think that that's a different part of my life. That's a different part of my life. It has nothing to do with my relationship with God, but our whole life depends on God. Every aspect of our life depends on God. So when we relinquish that control, He can mold us and use us in ways that we've never been able to be used before. Again, I think sometimes we get in our own way of what God has for us. Because again, I think we think our plans are better than His at times. You know, I'm reminded about Philippians 4, 6 through 7, which says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." And listen to this. "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ." So we don't have to be anxious. We don't have to worry about anything because God has it under control already. We have no reason to worry. You know, my wife will say that I don't worry at all. I don't worry enough. And that's probably the case at times. And sometimes I think I just mask my worry at times too. But I think also I hold fast to the truth that God has it in His hands. And I still fail to allow it to be in God's hands. And you know, I think some doubt comes in when we feel like we don't have the abilities. The ability to do it. So that makes me think of Moses. He had every excuse in the book that he was not good enough to help lead the Israelites out of Egypt. And God continued to give him things to help him with that, and he still continued to say that he wasn't good enough. And I think as us nowadays, we are still the same way at times. We still think that our inability keeps us from being able to do things. And you know, I like using this phrase, and Amanda has said this before. He doesn't qualify. How does it go again? This, I have to think real quick. I don't want to mess this up. God doesn't call the qualified, He qualifies the call. I can't believe I forgot that. But it's so true. Right? God can use each and every one of us, even with our flaws. So we don't have to doubt our abilities. God will give us those abilities. He shows it countless times in the Bible with Moses, with all kinds of different people. I mean, He used Paul, who persecuted Christians, who wanted to see Christians put to death, and winds up being the one who writes most of the New Testament. You know, God uses our little bit we have, and He can do so much with just a little bit of faith that we have. Have you ever doubted God because you think he's forgotten about you as well? When you're in hard things in life, sometimes you wonder, where is God in all of this? Has he forgotten about me? I think we've all been there, right? We've all doubted whether or not God was there for us. Now, we're just being honest this morning. You know, we can say, no, I don't doubt God at all. I don't doubt at all. But we do at times. But that's the human nature in us as well. You know, I remember when I first got my call to ministry. I was scared to death because I saw what ministry had done to my dad, and it chewed him up and spit him out at times. And I'm like, there's no way I want to go through that. I've seen it. I don't want to go through it. So I ran from that call. But there were so many times I felt so alone because I wasn't in God's will. I wasn't following God's plan. But then one time at camp meeting, several years ago, God pulled on my heart and finally I was like, you know what? You're right. I need to quit running. I need to quit being Jonah. I need to step in and do what you've asked me to do. And from that day on, I've had my struggles with staying focused on what God wants me to do in ministry. And I have to continually remind myself. I'm quite the procrastinator at times. And it's a very big flaw of mine. And I don't manage my time very well at times. And that's where Amanda has been my lifesaver with that. Because she's the one that keeps me organized. And I feel bad for her that she has to do that. But sometimes that's what our spouses are there for, is to help us in our weak areas. But I felt alone at times. That I've isolated myself away from everyone, isolated myself away from God even. Play on my phone for hours. Do things that, you know, God wouldn't want me to do. Not necessarily bad things, but stuff that kept me from being with God. And I think sometimes even good things in our lives can interfere with our relationship with God. So, of course, we were at camp meeting this week, some of us, and amazing word from one of our former general superintendents, David Graves. And I loved this part of his sermon, and this was something I kind of added at the last minute because I really like it. And he was reading from 2 Corinthians 9:8, which says, "And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that you may always have enough of everything and may provide an abundance for every good work." So in other words, God will provide for what we need. All we have to do is ask and not doubt and have faith that God will provide our needs. You know, we look at nature, we see all these animals, God provides for them. You know, it even says in the Bible that, you know, they have what they need, but yet we are made in God's own image. So he loves us even more than those animals, and he provides for them. Why would he not provide for us? Because he does provide for us. I think sometimes we don't ask, and sometimes that's what God wants to hear us ask for, that need. Ask for what we need. You know, if you ask not, he won't give it to you, right? He knows everything we need, of course. But he wants to hear it from us, directly from us. You know, when I think about doubt, I think it just comes down to our faith at times too. We have little faith. And that's what Thomas had. He had little faith at times. And all the 12 disciples did as well. They weren't your high people, right? They were fishermen, they were tax collectors, they were just regular people that had little faith at times, even when they were walking with the Messiah himself. They still had their own doubts and their own fears. We even see Peter, who gets out of the boat, walks on water, and sees the wind and sinks. Have you ever been able to see the wind? No. So he, his eyes were not on Jesus, right? And that's why he sunk, right? Because he took his eyes off of Jesus and looked at something that wasn't even there, right? How often do we get distracted from things like that and don't even realize it until we're sinking that we've been distracted? You know, I think about sports being a distraction. And, you know, we joke around with each other about sports, and that's all good, fine and dandy. But I believe in this country we have a problem where sports is a religion. And we focus so much on it, and we get so mad, we throw stuff at the TV. I'm guilty of that at times. But you know what? You know, I think there's something in that. That we allow even things that aren't really bad consume our lives and draws us away from what God has for us. And then we start to doubt what God has for us when we're really the ones that are walking away from Him. It's not that He's not there for us. We've chose to turn away from Him. So, my thought here today is, are you going to choose to doubt God, or are you going to put your whole faith in Him? It comes down to really our surrender of our heart. You know, I'm talking about doubt today, but I really think it comes down to our faith more than our doubt. If we fully put our faith and trust in God, it says in the Bible we can move mountains, right? If we have that faith and that trust in Him. So one of my favorite verses is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And this is something that my kids learned in like Caravan and things like that. And Maddie probably still knows it, but I won't put her on the spot. She would get mad at me if I told her that, to say that. But it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him or submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Such a simple verse, but a lot to it, right? Again, we can't rely on our own understanding. We have to allow God's understanding to come into our hearts and to use what He has for us. So when we trust in Him, you won't have to say, I can't believe it, because we will believe it. I'll be honest with you, this morning it was a struggle coming to church this morning. I'm just being kind of open and honest with you guys. You know, and I doubted my ability to be here this morning and be up here this morning. So just going through this sermon has spoke so much to me even this morning myself. And I'm the one that wrote it. Isn't it amazing that, you know, we can come into this place, feel like we're at the lowest that we can be, and we doubt what God has for us, when all we have to do is just place our trust in Him again? I don't know about you today, but I'm kind of tired of doing it myself. Trying to do what I believe God wants me to do instead of just abiding in Him and allowing Him to guide me. We get so involved with doing the work of God that we forget to be with God. It's all our jobs to do those things, but we also have to stay connected to our life source, which is God. Without Him, we fail in everything we do. You may succeed today in something without Him, but one of these days you'll need Him for that situation. So today, if you feel that you haven't fully placed your trust in God, trust in Jesus this morning, I encourage you guys to do that this morning as we close in prayer this morning. Think about that today. Are you fully putting your whole trust in Jesus this morning? Because I'm telling you what, when you do, it makes your life so much more precious. Doesn't always make it easier, but makes it so much more precious and so much more worth it. So again, you're welcome to come pray this morning. I'm opening the altars for you guys to just, and you can even pray at your seats this morning, whatever makes you feel most comfortable. But seek your hearts this morning and see if you are fully trusting in Jesus this morning. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I again thank you for this opportunity to just be with you. To be in your presence. Lord, we're just so thankful that you even reveal things to us, even when we're the ones that are bringing the word. Lord, I'm thankful that you've revealed to me that I need to put my trust fully in you and get out of my own way. Lord, we're, as humans, we self-sabotage so often because I think we believe we don't deserve good things because of all the things that we've done wrong. Lord, you know our hearts. You know the doubts. You know our inabilities. You know us better than anyone. Lord, you're such a gracious Heavenly Father that has given us opportunity after opportunity to have fellowship with you. And Lord, may we take that opportunity to develop that fellowship with you. Because Lord, without you, we are nothing. We can't accomplish anything without you. And again, that's why we are so thankful that we have a loving God that will be there with us. All we have to do is just ask. Lord, I think sometimes we just get so wrapped up in what we feel we need to do for you that, again, we forget to connect with you. Lord, I ask that you would just open up our hearts to you this morning, that if we do have doubts and we lack faith in you, that, Lord, that you would show us that you're here. We know you're here, but sometimes I think we just need that evidence. But Lord, help us to have faith, though, that even you're still there, even when we feel you're not. Lord, again, search our hearts. If we haven't fully surrendered ourselves to you this morning, may we do that this morning. And Lord, if there's something in our hearts that's saying, no, you can't do it today, you do it next Sunday when, you know, Pastor James is here. Do it. Maybe I'll just wait a month because I have a party or I have something else to do, Lord. But may we not make that excuse. May we fully surrender ourselves today to you. And Lord, may you bring people in our lives that can come alongside us and help us through the things that we still continue to struggle with in our lives. Because we will continue to struggle through things. But Lord, may we not rely on our own abilities to get through those things, but rely on your ability to help us through those things. I think of the footprints in the sand where you carry us. And Lord, may you carry us. And may we be willing to allow you to carry us and not be so wrapped up in our pride that we can't ask for your help. Lord, I ask that you would just be in each and every heart this morning. Lord, I pray that you continue to work on people's hearts. And Lord, help us to be an influence on others that are having trouble believing and doubt, and they doubt what God has for them. May we be that direction towards you. May we be able to show them that you are there, that you will help them through whatever they're going through. Lord, we live in such a hopeless world, but Lord, we have such great hope in you, a hope that we need to share with everyone else. It's a hope that's not just for us, it's for everyone. And Lord, may we just shine your hope Lord, again, we are so, so, so thankful that you are a loving God that provides for us. Lord, as we leave this place this morning, may we not leave your presence. And may we show the world what you've done for us. But Lord, again, be with us as we leave this place. Guide us, protect us. Help us just to love on each other and fellowship with each other. Lord, again, we thank you. And it's in your holy, precious name we pray. Amen.